Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's message is from that gospel lesson we read just a few moments ago. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Dear friends in Christ, behold the man on the cross. This is his purpose. This is why God is man. This is why the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity has taken on human flesh. This is the reason. Behold the man on the cross, bleeding, gasping, suffering, and dying. Behold the man. Behold his hands. The hands that were just the night before, just last night in our text, just the night before, they were washing his disciples' feet. And now they're pinned with nails to the rough crossbeam of this instrument of torture. Behold the hands that scooped Adam up out of the dirt and breathed life into him. Those hands that scooped Adam out of the dirt are now stained with dirt and blood. Behold the fingers, those fingers with which he touched lepers, when he put them in the deaf man's ears, touched the tongue of the mute man, picked up bread to declare it to be his body. Now, his hands, his fingers jerk uncontrollably every time he has to pull himself up on the nails through his wrists in order to take a breath. This is why God has hands. Behold the man. Behold his skin that's been shredded by the Roman flagrum to inflict the most damage to his skin and the greatest suffering of the one that's being beaten. Behold the skin of his back, which is now a bloody pulp that he has to scrape up and down the cross as he struggles to breathe. But this is why God has skin. Behold the knees that are skinned and bruised from falling under the weight of the cross as he was forced to carry it up to this place of the skull. This is why God has legs. Behold his feet, nailed there to the cross, bearing his weight as he dies. Behold the feet that walked from town to town as he taught his disciples, as he healed the sick, as he preached the good news of man's release from the captivity to sin and death. Behold the feet that Mary had anointed with a pound of expensive ointment, had washed with her tears and then wiped away with her hair. Behold those feet that are now bound in place. Behold the feet that have to endure the stabbing pain as they push up on the nail that's pinning them in place. Behold his heel, which in this act of dying is actually crushing the head of the serpent, destroying the kingdom of Satan, answering for mankind's sinful rebelling. And yes, this is why God has feet. Behold the man. Behold his head, where the rivulets of blood are flowing from each one of the wounds that the thorns placed there in the crown of thorns pressed down into his head. Behold the head that should rightly be crowned with majesty and glory, surpassing every earthly king's crown. Behold the head over which has been hung a sign that lists the charge that was placed against him. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Behold the head that, like his forefather David's, would have been anointed to make him king. But this is why God has a head. And now behold the face. Behold his face, which has fresh swelling and bruising from first the blows dealt by the high priest's officer, and later by the soldiers jeering at him when they put a cloak over his head and beat him about the head and say, "Prophesy, prophesy, who struck you?" Behold his eyes, which in the beginning looked at all that he had made and pronounced it very good. Behold the eyes then that looked with mercy and compassion on the crowds, that looked with mercy on his disciples, with compassion on the sick. And behold his lips, which spoke words of forgiveness and absolution, but now are dry and cracked with a deeper thirst than any of us will ever know. Behold the cheeks that were once kissed by his mother. Behold how his face contorts in agony. But this, yes, this is why God has a face. Behold the man. Behold his lungs as they slowly fill with fluid. Behold the lungs that actually breathe the life into Adam's nostrils. Behold the lungs that in this hanging posture can't exhale without the man pulling his whole body up on the nails to open up his airway. Behold the lungs that expel one final breath and cries out, "It is finished." And then he gives up his spirit and dies. But this is why God has lungs. Behold the man, behold his bones, which remain unbroken throughout this torturous ordeal. Behold the reason that every sacrifice, every Passover lamb, every bull for the whole burnt offering, every scapegoat, every ram, every turtle dove had to be healthy and intact and perfect, with no bones broken or disfigurement, a perfect specimen of their kind. And now behold the soldiers who with their clubs shatter the legs of each of the thieves on either side of Jesus. But they refrain from doing the same to Jesus. But this is why God has bones. Behold the man. Behold his side into which the soldier thrust his spear, causing a river of blood and water to pour forth, confirming that he is completely and truly dead. His heart is stopped. His synapses in his brain no longer fire. Behold the deep sleep of death that has now come upon this man. That has come upon this man on the sixth day of the week. Behold the material that from the side of the crucified man that God will fashion into his bride, the church, and will give her to him when he wakes. Behold the side of this man which disbelieving Thomas will actually be invited to touch, to bring, to put his rude finger into. But this is why God has a side. And behold the man, behold his blood, which pours from his lifeless body, staining the wooden beams of the cross, spilling onto the dirt, reddening the soil, and watering his creation. Behold the blood that he first shed when he was an 8-day-old boy, undergoing the sign by which all Jewish boys were made into Israelites. Behold the blood for which the crowd was thirsting for, and ironically asked exactly for what they needed. His blood be on us and our children. Behold the blood that was foreshadowed on every day of atonement, when the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled over the mercy seat, on the altar, and over the people. Behold the blood that he gave to his disciples in that cup the night before, telling them its function, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. So behold the blood that proves that God was truly and fully man, a brother in blood to us sinners. This is the blood by which this eternal high priest enters once for all into the most holy place in the temple, giving you and me and all sinful men access to a holy God. But this is why God has blood. You see, this is no accident. Nor is it a tragedy. Jesus actually himself said this, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." You see, this is why God is man. Not to teach us how to be good, not to show us the right way to live, not to set the perfect example, not to impart his wise teaching. God is man so that he can die for all men, for all human beings on this earth. God has a life so that he can lay it down in exchange for yours and for mine. Behold the man. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always.